to answer your question briefly, let me tell you what God did with me is when I was going through the divorce and my wife began to do to me what your husband is doing to you, God asked me to not resist an evil person. He kept showing me Matthew 5:39, do not resist an evil person, but if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. If someone sues you for your cloak, give to them your tunic as well. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too. God was testing me to see if I would be willing to be wronged. Now, I can only tell you this. This was one of the biggest, most important commands God had ever given me. Had I failed this, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today. I would not be so tired right now from staying up so late talking with my amazing wife that God has now provided for me. And there would be no Michael Criswell as you see it or as anyone sees it on the internet, because this was a gigantic pass or fail test. This was only a one-time thing. The Bible is so very clear that as a Christ follower, and this is going to be very difficult for you to understand, but this is where the difference is between people who find life to the full and enter in and possess the promised land spiritually with Jesus Christ versus Christians who stay frustrated, disillusioned, confused, upset, victoryless. I want you to really, really pray about this. But the answer is very clear in Scripture. It doesn't say, unless you're a mother, unless you're a father. It says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. The reason why Jesus Christ can say this is because Jesus Christ is in control of evil people. Jesus made it very clear, the only power you have over me, Pilate, is the power that's been given you from heaven. So anything that can be done to you as a Christ follower, you have to understand this in faith, can only be done because God permits it. And God tests you. He wants to know what's most important, justice on earth or my will be done in your life. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to be cast aside? Are you willing to be overlooked? Are you willing to be wronged? Verse 39, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, notice it doesn't say unless it's your wife or your spouse or your husband or a family member. No. Another scripture is in Luke 6:30-31. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone, including your ex-husband, including the father of your children, including your ex-wife, including the mother of your children, if anyone takes what belongs to you, like children, like money, like dignity, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Bible says it's a black and white issue. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So ask yourself this question. At any time, would you like for your ex-husband to hire an attorney to sue you or to control your boundaries? The answer to that question is no, you wouldn't. So Jesus says we are to do to others what we would have them do to us. In every way, if you follow this, this is the Matthew 7:12 golden rule. You cannot fail, sister. Okay? Look at this. Isaiah 56:7. This is a prophecy of Jesus. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. I hear myself standing in the kitchen amongst unbelievers. Oh, Mike, you're going to end up in jail. You should have hired an attorney. And I say these words. I don't know how. I don't know when. But my God will deliver me. I said it boldly to these NASA engineers who didn't have any clue as to how powerful and wonderful God is. And now look, people's lives are saved because I was willing to walk into... Here's the truth. People stop suicide. They stop second suicide attempts, third suicide attempts because God brings them across my story. And think about it. There would be no story if I were not willing for my ex-wife to wrong me. I can almost guarantee you your husband has not done to you what my ex-wife has done to me. In 10,000 divorces, a woman says, I've never seen a divorce like this. In 10,000. This was 3.5 years ago. Here's another scripture. Lamentations 3:30-33. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. I had to be filled with disgrace. I had to be looked upon as nothing, totally defeated, totally been alienated from my children, the disgrace of a father who can't even be in his children's life, who couldn't afford to pay child support for a time, just horrible disgrace. Verse 31, for men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief on the children of men, but he invites you, these are my words now, not the scripture, he invites you to be willing to suffer. You should avoid evil people if you can. If you can avoid being taken advantage of, you do, but in this situation, you can't. You can attorney up, but that would be, to me, I couldn't do it. It violates what I know in scripture. It violates my conscience. So I was willing to be wrong, and people said, oh, I don't understand, you have to fight. I say, no, the Bible teaches that the Lord delights in those who fear him, and he crowns the humble with salvation. He delights in his people. He crowns the humble with deliverance and salvation. Who are the humble? Those who depend upon him. Now, another passage that you should look into is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Where it talks about lawsuits among believers, and you may say, for example, well, my husband's not a believer. The principle is still the same. You overcome evil with good. Paul says, you have lawsuits among yourselves, you're already defeated. He says, why not rather be wronged or cheated? So when you say you have to use an attorney, sister, let me tell you, from God's eyes, you're having to depend upon man. There's no other way around this, unless the Lord himself tells you differently, like he says to you specifically something different, which usually it will not contradict his word. If you're going to be and you're going to step into what God has for you, there is no other way. Be willing to be wronged. Be nice to your ex-husband and don't fight him. If he wants to take the children away, let him go. Let the devil lose, because the devil cannot win a fight you will not engage in. The devil wants to keep you focused on fighting the battle, not God. The devil wants to keep you offended. The devil wants to keep you wrapped up. The devil wants to keep you obsessively thinking about how wronged you are and how you're going to get yours and how you're going to fight and how your attorney can take care of this and how, oh, this is the way society works. I have to attorney up. No, you don't. Can I just tell you this, sister? Do you know something? If you fire your attorney tomorrow, God could crush that little ex-husband of yours like that. Now, the chances of him doing that are slim, because God is full of mercy and compassion. But my point is, God can stop your husband's heart tomorrow, or he can change your husband's heart tomorrow. He can do this. What God is not concerned with your ex-husband right now. You have to get this. God is not concerned with your ex-husband. God is concerned about you. You are the one that he sees hope for. You are the one he wants to bless. You are the one he wants to discipline. You are the one he wants to have you humble yourself. And you are the one he wants to teach you faith. Psalm 54:4, surely God is my help. It is the Lord who sustains me. Where does the help come from? Surely my attorney is my help. It is my attorney who sustains me. No. Proverbs 28:26, it is a fool who trusts in himself, but he who walks in wisdom will be kept safe. Isaiah 2:22, stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? These are the words of God through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 31:1, woe to those, meaning bad news, you're in trouble. Woe to those who go down to Egypt. Egypt is the marketplace, the doctors, the lawyers, the attorneys, the accountants. Not that you can't use them sometime, but who rely upon these, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen. Or you could put attorney in there, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, seek help from the Lord. If you're in a business fight, if you've been in a car accident, yeah, you may perhaps be inclined to use an attorney to use the laws, but this is not one of those matters. This is a spiritual battle you're in. Light versus dark, good versus evil, Christ versus Belial. And how do we win spiritual battles? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. You're in a spiritual battle that you win through spiritual means, prayer, denial of self. The Bible says God is just. In Thessalonians, Paul says God is just. He will trouble those who trouble you. It may not happen in this lifetime, but are you willing? Are you willing to trust God's very best for you? I'm telling you, sister, you're at a crossroads. This is where you have to, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his brother and sister, his wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to divide a son from his father, a daughter from her mother, a daughter-in-law from her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. If anyone loves his father or mother, his brother or sister more than me, he is not worthy of me. So you have got to come to a place where Jesus Christ is more important to you than your children. It comes down to this. What kind of faith do you have? Do you believe Psalm 94:9? Do you believe, does he who formed the eye not see and he who formed the ear not hear? Do you believe Luke 18:1-8? That you're to cry out to God for justice against the unmerciful judge, and that God will bring about justice for those precious ones of his who cry out to him day and night. Not crying out to the judge, not trusting in an attorney, but crying out to God. Look at Isaiah 50:10-11. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light. You're walking in the dark, you have no light. Trust in the name of his attorney and rely on his professional help? No. Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all of you who light fires and provide for yourselves with flaming torches, all of you who run to professional help, who run to man, who run to attorneys, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. God is looking for people who will trust him. When Abraham could not have a baby, they didn't go to a fertility specialist. They went to the only God who can control a woman's womb, who opens and closes wombs. That God, our loving Heavenly Father, is still the same exact God today as he was then. The difference is his people are not the same today. And the shallowness of faith is cast over the land. So, you want to hear from the Father, but the words are clear in Scripture. If someone takes what belongs to you, time sharing, your children, dignity, reputation, money, if you can avoid it without fighting. As soon as you begin to fight using the means of human means, you're no longer trusting God. And God would say, oh, okay, I see. You've decided to handle this on your own. Okay, you will miss my best. You'll have an okay life. You'll maybe fight and eventually get some more time with your children. You'll have some decent peace. But I'm telling you, you will miss. You will not enjoy the life I'm enjoying now. I'm going to say that to you very boldly. If you fight, and again, this is not about you. This is a principle for any child of God. Please forgive me. When I speak so boldly like this, my boldness and my conviction is for the Word of God, not for your particular walking in it or not. Yes, I know how important it is to encourage you to do this. You cannot lose trusting God. God is not going to look down from heaven and say, oh, goodness, bless her little heart. Oh, she doesn't realize I wasn't planning on helping her and that I really just, in this instance, she needed to go ahead and get an attorney to fight this. She doesn't realize I'm too busy helping people who have real problems. Oh, sister, God is never going to say that. God is never going to say that. I have learned and continue to learn every day. God does everything in my life. I wait for God to act in every way in my life. I don't get ahead of God. I have learned how to watch God act in my behalf. Isaiah 64:4. For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. Wait for him. Lamentations 3:24 and 25. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in his unfailing love. To the one who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you see the word salvation, it refers to getting them out of the situation they're in, not going to heaven. It is primarily salvation of being saved from the enemies, being saved from the drought, being saved from the famine, being saved from whatever. Okay? So think about Isaiah 49:23. And you will know through experience that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will never be put to shame. Was I put to shame? No, God ended my divorce on the 777th day, did something nobody had ever in their life heard of, asking me to pay $1 a month like a slap in the face to my ex-wife. Not me, I didn't slap her. I let her slap me. God is the one that slapped her back. And God has seen fit to allow her to do even more evil to me, even after that. And I praise God for all of it. Now I am filled every day with the fullness of the joy of the Lord. God gives me words for people. He blesses me. He keeps me. I have grace. I have peace. I have joy. My only bad days are when people don't trust God or people act foolish. People reject my father. People reject the godly advice in the Bible. That's the only bad times I have. And they're not bad days. They're just bad moments. I don't care for anything about what happens to me. Nothing. God is my everything. He is my portion. And you don't get to this place by trying. You don't get to this place by deciding. And you don't get to this place by working it up. It only comes by obedience. It only comes by denial of self. It only comes by surrender. It only comes from years of surrender, years of sacrifice. I signed up and I had to be made fun of. I had to be rejected by all of my family members. I mean all of my family members. I had to be willing to be rejected by my own pastor who says I'm not only wrong, I'm dead wrong. I had to be willing to be rejected by two of my best friends, losing both of them. I had to be willing to be rejected by people in my church. I had to be willing to be rejected by everybody. Psalm 66:10 through 12. That's how I got to this place of spiritual prosperity. I had to be refined like silver. I had to be brought into prison. I had to have burdens lay on my back. I had to be willing to allow men to ride over my head. I had to be willing to be put into the fire and into the cold and into the fire and into the cold and into the fire. And now, oh my God, I praise him. Every day I praise him because I was willing to suffer. I was willing to be wronged. I was willing to say, I'm not going to fight for my life anymore. I'm not going to fight for my dignity anymore. I'm not going to fight in court anymore. If God, you want to see fit to take my children out of my life for the rest of my life, so be it. I trust you that much, God. I love you that much. They're not my children. They belong to you. Who am I? I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. The Spirit of the living Christ lives inside of me. I'm the temple for the Holy Spirit. Is it my responsibility to fight for me? No. I will trust you. I will trust you. Acts 27:25, be of good courage, men, for I have faith that it will happen just as God has promised. Or Romans chapter 4, Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed God, and it was counted to him in righteousness, facing the fact that his body was dead and his womb, his wife's womb also was dead. Abraham did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Being what? Fully persuaded that who? That God had the power to do exactly as he promised. I have to end it with this story. God ended my divorce on the 777th day. He tried to tell me over 100 times, 777, 777. Then he showed me in my Bible the exact thing that he did written on page 777 in my Bible. I would like to encourage you to go listen. You know what? I'm not going to tell you the story. I want to encourage you to go listen. I believe it is video number 22 on that page. It's Knowing God Through Experience. You need to listen to that recording and hear for yourself. In fact, I didn't even need to make this whole message. I could have just sent you to that video. But no, there's more good stuff in that video. So please, trust God. Trust God. Be willing to be wrong. Go listen to that video and see what you hear in that. And be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sister. Sorry it took me so long to get back. Let me know if you have any more questions. Bye.